So I just want to say thank you for being here today and allowing us to have this time with you, because this was something that it was a God thing. This is not a Diana or Rolanda thing. This is definitely a God thing. And so just from the two of us, I just want you to know how much we appreciate you for taking time out to come, because it means a lot. And I feel like this sharing is, God has more, and it's going to be more in the future of things to come, and for other women to come together and really share their testimonies and learn from each other and grow in the Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the gathering of women. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share what is not only my testimony, but is what is the story that you've written for me. And I appreciate that, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that today that you speak through me, that I share what you want these women here to know about your goodness, your grace, and the sovereign Lord that you are, and the protector that you are in our lives, Lord. So I just welcome your Holy Spirit into this place today, and I just pray, Lord, that everyone's heart will be opened and that they will receive what you have for them today, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So my testimony is a little different from kind of what you've heard from yesterday and today. For those of you who don't really know me, I'll just give you a brief overview of who I am. I'm Rolanda. I'm married to Brandon. We have 6 children. We are a blended family. I have 4 children from a previous marriage, and I'm bonus mom to his set of twins. So altogether, we have 8 kids, but in our home, on a regular basis, 6. I was saved at the age of 11. I grew up in a household with Christian parents. I went to church. I knew about God. I was taught God. My father is an avid prayer. He is a prayer warrior. He knows the word, and he lives it. He teaches it. And so it's always been a part of my life. And I'm thankful for that, because I know that not a lot of people have that blessing at such a young age to be covered in the word. And I was. My story begins on December 16, 2016. And on that day, it's what I call the day that I would truly know the gift of life. God's grace on my life. What started out as a normal day for me would shape my family's faith in God forever. And not just my own family, but close friends and people who were involved in our lives on a regular basis. I want to share with you in detail what occurred that day, because I want you to understand that the world has odds and there are statistics, but they are no match for the God we serve. Those statistics don't matter. Those odds don't matter. I woke up that morning to get my children ready for school, and I have a son with autism, and if you know my son, he wears a Virginia Tech hoodie every day, so they are in constant rotation in laundry. And I went down to the basement that morning to get a sweatshirt out of the dryer. Typical morning. I didn't feel any different than any other day. And while I was down in the basement, I found out later that I had had the first stroke of the day. How I found that out was because later on, when my family came home, they discovered that I had destroyed the basement. I had poured laundry detergent all over areas of the basement. And so clearly, there was some mental confusion as to what I was doing in that basement that morning. So I want you to keep in mind that I'm downstairs. My family is upstairs. I'm alone. I have had a stroke, and I don't even know it. statistics, I should have died in that basement. There is no physical reason why I should have been able to have walked up those steps. But God had a plan. And for a while, once I was able to process a lot of the things that happened to me in the hospital, I had a sense of, I thought back to being in the basement, because I had to come to terms with, for myself, what I had gone through. The fact that I could have died in that basement, what that meant for my children, what that meant for my parents and my siblings. And for a moment, I thought to myself, as if that was such a very alone, like I was just almost like abandoned, if you will. In my mind, I thought I could have just been abandoned in that basement. But the Lord reminded me of something, that when I was a baby, I had an abusive babysitter. And my babysitter would put me in a closet. And it wasn't until a couple months ago, my 14-year-old son, Grayson, who I didn't even realize he had heard some of these stories, but obviously he had. And he said to me one day, "Mom, how do you think you felt in the closet as a baby?" And my first thought was, well, Grayson, I was a baby, so I didn't know. But then I was reminded of being in that basement, and I thought, no, God was with me in that closet. And he was with me in that basement. And even though as a child, as a baby, 10-month-old baby in the closet, I didn't know I was there. But God's protection was there in that closet. Because although while it was awful to have put someone's baby in a closet, I realized that I was safe in that closet. I was away from the hands of someone who could have done really bad things to me. And so it just reminded me of, I was in that basement. I was alone physically, but the Lord was there. And that that's just comforting to me. It reminds me to know that he's always there. It doesn't matter what the situation is. He's always there. I came upstairs, and I actually was quite what would be considered normal. I began my routine, which was somewhat out of order. At that time, I physically didn't feel any different, but I was doing things that were out of order. For instance, I never made coffee until my kids left. I started to make coffee, but I didn't finish the coffee. I was kind of going from task to task, but not completing anything. And my family didn't pick up on that. They just didn't. It wasn't until I saw Ambrosia and I said, "Your blouse is so pretty today. You look really pretty." And she's like, "Oh, thank you, Mom." And then I said it again. "Your blouse is very pretty. You look pretty today." And she kind of looked at me like, "Very complimenting today. Like, okay." And it wasn't until I looked at her face and I realized there was some puzzle. You know, she just seemed puzzled. And I thought to myself, okay, you can come in. They opened and they shut the door. Like almost as if they were confused, maybe. Not somebody. I didn't recognize the person. And so I began to sense that something was off with me, even though physically I didn't feel any different. And it was in that moment that I had what medical professionals describe as the worst headache of your life. I physically felt as if someone was hitting me in the head with a sledgehammer. It was just bad. And I went and I said to my parents, "I need help," because I knew that something was very wrong. I've given birth 6 times 5 times naturally. Like, I knew pain, but this is a pain that I had never experienced. And so I knew that that something was wrong and that I needed to get help. My mother called 911, and my father went into prayer immediately. And he is praying, and he is rebuking hell, the devil, death. He is proclaiming it all. And I took comfort in that, because I think while he was praying, that spirit of fear that had gripped me, because I knew, Rolanda, this is bad. I don't know what this is, but this is very bad. And but him praying for me, it wasn't what I would see myself praying if it were my child. That frantic, that, you know, God say, like, you know, that fear that you're praying, but there's fear, you know, with that. He was praying with such authority that he knew, no, not today. Like, this is not happening. I don't know what's happening. I don't care what's happening, but it's going to stop. That was the authority that he was praying with. And that is something that I am trying to, I want to get to that level. I want to get to that level of faith. I want, when circumstances come, that I am calm and I am firm in not focusing on the situation, but focusing on God, the God who is going to take me out of that situation. Mm-hmm. And that is just something that forever changes you. It really does. It changes your the way you deal with life situations. And how he got there, I know it was by reading the word, by knowing the word. You said that today, and I thought, that's my father. He says all the time, you've got to know the word. You've got to know the God you serve. You have to know the truth so that you can speak it over yourself and over other ones. So at that time, they did call 911. 911 did eventually come. Between that moment, I have no memory of anything else. So from December 16th, my first real memory without someone telling me things that may have occurred is not until Christmas Eve. I was med flighted to MCV. I had surgery. I had an 8.5 hour brain surgery. What I had was, it's called a subarachnoid hemorrhagic stroke. It was very large, and it was in the part of the brain that is pretty important, because that part of your brain regulates the fluid on your spine as well as on your brain. If you don't have fluid, you don't have life, basically. My sister got to the hospital first because she lives in Chesterfield. I was at MCV, and they were very blunt. She'll not make it. That was the prognosis. And I got to talk to my surgeon after having surgery. And he told me, he said, when you came in and we saw your CT, he said you could hear a pin drop. He said everybody in the room just couldn't believe it. They, looking at it, thinking, she's breathing on her own. She's intubated, but she's breathing on her own. And that in itself shouldn't be happening right now. And he said, okay, well, let's get started. And one of the interns said, for what? She won't come off the table. And if she does, what's the quality of life? And he said, well, she's a mom. And he said, it is better for her children to have a mother that's disabled, that they can go and see, than it is for them to have no mother at all. And I appreciated his honesty because I always thought, oh, you go to the hospital, they're going to fix you. They don't care what's wrong with you. Like, your head's cut off, they sew it back on. It's fine. And I realized that that is not always the case. And so I was thankful for that for him because, unbeknownst to him, you know, he was acting in his own will, but he wasn't. It was God. God said, no, we're going to do this. And so I did have surgery, and the doctors, my prognosis was probably, I would probably come home in 3 years between being in the hospital, going to a rehab facility, learning all these things over again. But that's not what happened. I had surgery and I left. I walked out of MCV in 26 days. And let me give you a little backstory. So while this is all happening, and I'm at MCV, and my sister gets there, when my parents called my sister at home to let them know that I was coming to MCV, my sister went into prayer. She did not call people. She did not post on social media. She went to the Father. And I am so grateful for that, because the time that she could have spent doing these other things, as we often do, was critical. And the Lord told her that Rolanda is the redeemed of the Lord, and she will walk out of that hospital fully functioning. And that was so important, because that planted my parents, my friends, our family's faith. That was the path. That was the option. That was the only option. There was no other option. This is what God said. This is what we're going to believe. It doesn't matter what is happening in the natural. And things were happening in the natural. My surgeon often tells me there are lots of things that happened that is a blessing that you don't remember. He said, we did awful things to you. And I said, well, that's great. Thank you, but glad I don't remember these things. But it's just so important to have and to know the faith in God. Because it's not that if you don't have the faith that God still can't move. But I also feel like you miss the blessing. You might not have that movement as mightily when you're lacking that faith. And so it is important to ground yourself in that faith and to know that you are hearing from God. Do not think, oh, well, that's just me thinking that I should do. No, you need to stop and get quiet so that you can hear from God. And so that moment, that word that God gave her was what held our family together. I'm at a hospital in surgery, and I have a nurse who tells my daughter, your mom is going to die. Your mom's not going to come out here. You're not going to see your mom. Like, this is where we are. This is where she's at. It doesn't get any worse than this. This is it. And my daughter said, my mother's not going to die. My mother's the redeemed of the Lord. And that poor nurse, she probably thought, you need therapy too. Because you have to understand, the atmosphere that was in that waiting room was not people sobbing and people who were just sad. They had made a choice that they were going to rejoice in the Lord, because God already said, this is what it's going to be. And so, of course, to everyone around them, that doesn't make any sense. But that's what they stood on, and that's what got us to where we are and where we're continuing to go today. I know that there are lots of things that happened with other people. God was just really at work in the hospital, and you know, he wasn't just moving on my behalf. You know, he was moving in the lives of other people as well. Yeah, this notes is not happening.
Yeah.
Nothing. So yeah, there are a few things that I do want to just kind of share with you. One of the things that I often would, when I came home and I was able to understand what happened to me, there's a lot of emotions and unpacking that you have to do that I wasn't necessarily prepared for when I came home. But, and of course, one of the things you say to yourself is, well, why me? Why did this happen to me? Statistically, I didn't fit the odds. I was 36 years old. You know, why? But one of the things for us, for me personally, one of the blessings that came from this experience was that, honestly, I would have to say, it completely saved my marriage. My husband grew up Catholic, Baptist. He was a little all over the place. And so he didn't have a really strong understanding of who God was and if God was real. He was the type of person who someone had to create all this, and I'm pretty sure it's God. But that's about where it was at for him. It was just, you know, surface. And he was right. He had never experienced faith. And that, of course, it's impacted our marriage now, because he's stronger, because he understands and he knows for himself. He no longer needs someone to prove it to him, because he's seen it. And he knows that God is real. And he knows that there's power. Is he perfect? Of course not. But he is growing and he's stretching. And I can't, you know, I'm thankful. As much as that may sound, why would you be thankful if something horrible happened to you? But I'm thankful, because that was a time that God used to stretch him, and it has left an impact on his life forever. Though I just have a few things that I will say that I want to share, that regardless of what's happening in the natural, just always know that there's a Father in heaven, and the Spirit is always moving, and you can't just focus on the natural. You have to get to a place of knowing that God is there, and if you're gonna ask for him, you've got to believe, because you can ask all day long, but you have to believe that he's there and that he's gonna do what it is that he needs to do for you. Because it could be the difference between life and death. My children's faith has grown. And it's grown at such... They're so young. It's like, their faith, I'm like, your faith shouldn't be that big. You know, you're so young. But it really has stretched them. And it has allowed them to see the work of God. And it's no longer about just, you know, teaching them, but they know. they now know. And that is something that I am thankful for. I'm thankful that my children can stand up and say, no, the word says this. This is what's going to happen. And that's it. So yeah, my family spoke life. They were encouraged. Lots of people prayed. My sister was sending people home if they weren't in agreement. I always laugh at that. because that's the reality. Reality is, you know, not everyone's faith is where on the same level. And so it's important to set that in stone. This is where we're at. This is what God's word says. This is what we're going to look at. So I share this today to remind you that God is the author of our lives. We don't get to write our story. God does. And he's greater than any odds. So that's it.
So I just want to close our time out here and just ask if there's anybody who has anything that they want to pray about. I'm going to end us in prayer. And if you have a prayer need or if you want us to pray for you, you can just come up here. That'd be all right. Come up here and we'll pray with you. Think that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but also just praying for one another, being there for one another, and praying through things. My grandma always used to talk about praying through. Somebody had a bad attitude, she would say, they need to pray through. They had something going on in their life, you need to go pray through. And as I got older, I realized that she was right. When things in our life are chaotic, that's not of God. God is a God of peace. When things in our life seem like they're out of control, it's not of God. God's a God of control. When things in our life don't feel peaceable, we have to get it right in peace. Doesn't mean that it has to be perfect, but we have to have peace that comes from God. And the way we do that is praying through. Praying through till the sun comes up if it takes that. Praying through till you feel that peace. Praying through until you feel like you have the answer that God has given you. And that's what each one of these testimonies is about. It's about us recognizing that we're not perfect. Recognizing that the enemy is real. That we're constantly in spiritual warfare. And recognizing that the enemy does not want wholeness for us or our families. Just when we think things are going great, what happens? One of your kids gets sick, you know, get a diagnosis or something. I mean, Kendra's going through that with Belle. And what are we doing as a church? We're praying and believing that God's going to heal. God can heal our broken hearts. God can do so much. The creator of heaven and earth. Just think about that. Think how powerful that is. And we walk around sometimes and we forget how powerful our God is. So if you want us to pray, you know, for you, just come on up here. So we're just going to spend some time in prayer. Ambrosia, do you want to just put on some soft music playing in the background? Maybe something kind of low. And then, so we'll pray for about however long it takes, and then I'll close this out. Does anyone have anything specific before that they want us to pray for? You want us to pray for Belle?
Aaron?
Anything else? Anybody? All right. If you change your mind, come up here. Lay hands on you. Father God, we just come before you now, Lord, with humble hearts, Lord. But God, we invite your presence into this place, Lord, to continue to work in our thoughts and in our hearts, Lord. We just pray, Lord God, that each and every lady in this room will walk a path of complete surrender to you, Lord. Surrendering to you, Lord, when it's difficult. Surrendering when we're fearful of what man tells us, whether it's a doctor's report or something that the world says about us and who we are. Lord God, we know that who we are is who you tell us we are, Lord. And what we will be is what you say we will be, oh God. Lord God, we just pray for healing in our hearts, Lord, in the places of our heart that still need healing, Lord. I know for myself, my healing is ongoing, Lord, because there's things that I think that I have overcome or parts of my heart that I thought had surrendered and I haven't, Lord, and that healing is just ongoing, constant surrender, daily picking up our cross, daily saying, Lord, use me. Dump me out, Lord. Dump all of Diana out and fill me up with you, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that each lady who leaves here today, Lord, will just pour themselves out before you, Lord, that they will be filled with you, filled with the direction that you would have them go in, filled with the knowledge that they are good enough, that they are equipped to do the work that you've called them to do, that they are equipped for the next stage of life that you've called them to, Lord. I just rebuke a spirit of fear. We cast fear out in Jesus' name. There will be no fear among women of God. Lord God, we just pray that our heads will be held high because we are daughters of the King, Lord. Remind us, oh God. Remind us of who we are, Lord. Lord, the world just leaves us so weary and so tired, Lord. We just pray, Lord God, that we will just rise up strengthened in you, oh God. Strengthened in your might through your word, oh God. I just pray that each woman here, Lord, more than ever before, will be drawn unto your word. That we won't be so busy, Lord, with our daily tasks, that we don't read your word, Lord. Make us women of your word, each and every woman here. Thank you. travel back to their homes, Lord. That there will be safety in their travels, Lord. That they will leave here, Lord God, full of strength, Lord God, feeling renewed and restored and regenerated for the next battle that's coming, Lord God. Let us leave here battle ready to face what comes next. Let us look to one another, Lord God. Be open with one another when we need prayer, Lord.